All right, how many know why they're here on this earth today? Anybody? Because of Jesus, okay. How about how many here do not know the gift that God's put inside of them? Anybody here not know? Everybody knows, cool. Well, I got to figure out something else to talk about today. Now, this is a series we did about 5 years ago. So I thought it was good to do it again. It's going to be 6 weeks long, and it's going to be talking about what's my gift. You know, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, and it talks. Those are going to be the gifts of the Father, and we're going to go into some of this a little bit. And I know this was life-changing for me. This is information I both learned in Bible school as well as in my local church, which the Bible school was hosted in, and it really explains some things about, you know, when we're born again, you know, what God has put inside of us and how we can figure out how we interconnect or flow with the body of Christ, okay? A lot of people, you know, it's easy to figure out, you know, hypothetically, you know, when we're born, but it's not so easy to figure out why we're born. You know, I remember growing up, I knew that God had a plan for my life and he had something for me to do, but yet I wasn't really sure what that was. You know, he delivered me from death I don't know how many times through my teenage years. But yet I always knew that God had a call on my life, but I wasn't really sure, you know, what that was. See, figuring out the why is the most important part of our life, you know, why we're here. You know, much frustration, I believe, is caused in life because we don't have, because we suffer with lack of purpose. And just pouring ourselves into our kids' careers or into our kids or our careers is not really God's best, because you're going to find out, hypothetically, this is how it should work, is that the kids move out at a certain time. Amen? How many say amen to that? Praise God. You know, the kids will move out. And also, there comes a time in our life when we retire. You know, when we retire, we don't really, you know, maybe have, you know, the reason to get up in the morning. You always got to have a reason to get up every morning. If not, that's when you get in trouble. Now, aimlessly plodding along, you know, heading, you know, to that unknown destination doesn't seem like it's going to work either. See, we're part of God's body, the body of Christ, and each of us has a function. We each have a function, something that God's put inside of us. And we each do our part, the body is strong and it can accomplish, you know, great things. And I want you to think about this. We have a higher purpose due to our higher calling, okay? Once you step into your destiny, once you step in to the reason why God put you on this planet, that's when we start to really understand the fulfillment and everything that can happen when we give ourselves to Christ and start to function and flow with the things that he's put inside of us. And it's nothing we have to work for. It's a God's gift. See, a gift is given, but a gift also has to be received. You see that? Think about it. It's so simple. You know, just like salvation, he gives us the gift of salvation, but unless we receive that gift, we're not saved. Right? And it's like this with the things that he's put inside of us, all these things that we're going to look at, you know, and it's important that we take that gift and we start to explore that gift, we start to grow in that gift, and then we start to develop and start to be the person that God's called us to be. Passage we're going to look at starting off here is Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have so many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many as one body in Christ and individually members one of another, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us," see there we see we have grace, "each of us is to exercise them accordingly." See, there's something that we have to do. God gave them, now we have to exercise them. Then it says, "If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the gifts that you've given to us, the body of Christ. Lord, we want to walk in everything that you have for us. Lord, we don't want to have nothing lacking. Lord, help us not to shrink back in fear, but Lord, to press on in faith. Lord, I pray right now that you stir up the gift inside of me and you use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. Thank you, Lord, that we bind up the devil from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. And all these things, Lord, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I want us to see here from this passage I just read, now I'm going to go into a little explanation about some gifts and giftings that we need to kind of have a comprehension of. These are called the gifts of the Father. These are the gifts that the Father God has put inside of us. And we're going to really start them off next week, but this is going to be laying some background. Okay, so the gifts of the Father, and what we call these is motivational gifts. They're the gifts that kind of, you know, each of us has a personality. This is the best way I can explain it. You know, we have different personalities, and each of these gifts kind of temper and start to work through us, and it's kind of our personality. Once we start to explore these, you're going to see that. Now, as well as the gifts of the Father, we also have the gifts of the Son. They're found in Ephesians chapter 11, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We call that the fivefold ministry. You know, they are gifts from Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, right? And then he's given these gifts. I function in the office of a pastor and a teacher to some degree. I move over sometimes into evangelist and prophet every now and then, but primarily where I'm at right now with what I'm doing, I have a pastoral teaching gift. And I flow with that. And it's not something that I am, you know, I would probably not be considered the most eloquent speaker in the natural. You know, I don't speak English. I speak American, Southern, you know, I'm hillbilly somewhat, you know. But when the anointing hits, I do a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Things start to flow a little better. But see, that's God's gift inside of me. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit. These are called the charismatic gifts, and they come from the Spirit of God. So we've got the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, the gifts of the Spirit. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. You know, and we're not going to go into those in this series probably, but we need to do it again. We've been talking about them in the Bible school a little bit. And, you know, those are gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit as He wills, just at a certain time that we need it. You know, maybe a prophecy, a tongue, interpretation, you know, healing, faith, you know, all these things, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, discerning of spirits. I mean, that's most of them. There's nine of those gifts, okay? So what we have to see through that is the fact that these are gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit as He wills, and they're for the building up and the of the body of Christ. All these things are for the body of Christ. You know, some of them were to reach the world with, but primarily God wants His body to be strong. You know, and as we go through life, we want a strong body. If not, you know, we can't function and do the things that we know we're called to do. You know, how can your feet be prepared with the gospel of peace if you can't walk? You know what I'm saying? You have to take care of your body, and it's even more important that we take care of our spiritual side of our life. A lot of people don't see that. You know, the spiritual side of our life is the most important part of us, because that's that really affects eternity. You know what I mean? You know, our body only lives so long down here, and then it's going to give out on us. Everybody, you know, until Jesus comes, our body is going to pass away. But the real us is the spirit and the soul. And, you know, our soul is kind of our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions, and those are important because that kind of makes up our personality. But we have a spiritual personality that we need to develop. And that's the part of us that's going to make an impact on this world. Amen? That's the part that we need to find where we flow in, and then we start to exercise and develop that gift, you know, and it's important that we see that. So, you know, where do I fit in? Have you ever tried on some clothes that don't really fit? You know, I've done that just last night. My wife went to a garage sale, you know, and, you know, she drags home this stuff. Now, yesterday was pay dirt. We did get a few things that I enjoyed, but primarily, you know, to me, it's just stuff, you know, but I needed some stuff, so it worked out. But a couple of them didn't fit. You know, there's no way I could wear them. I didn't really fit in that. And see, sometimes when we get out of place in our calling and what God's gifted us to, it's kind of frustrating. Now, we're a smaller church, so sometimes you guys overlap into different giftings, and we need that because, you know, and now if everybody did their part, it wouldn't be a problem. If everybody would find their gift and say, hey, pastor, put me in, you know what I mean? You know, I want in the game. Now, I'll tell you this. you know, I don't see how you people do it. You sit there and you have to listen to somebody. You know, I do it every now and then. Man, that's excruciating, isn't it? You know, be honest, come on. Now, sometimes where I thrive is when I'm walking in my gifting, when I'm doing what God's called me to do. Now, I know we need to sit down and listen because we need to be taught and all those things, but inside that, we need to find out what God's called us to do and start to exercise in that. And when we do that, we're going to start to be the most happy person that we've ever could become. I remember, you know, my wife can probably testify to this unless she's forgot it. You know, hope she has. But, you know, before I stepped into this calling, I was in a different ministry. And it was good, but it wasn't really fulfilling me. And she could see that I was just paced. I would pace the house like a tiger. There was something inside of me that just, I wanted something. You know, I wasn't getting there where I needed to be until finally I stepped in and we started this church. I mean, that's, God was just putting a fire inside of me. Something I got to do. And you know, many of you have a message in you. It's got to get out. We've got to let it out. We need to do those things. So where do we fit in? We got to, you know, find a place that we fit. As we're laying the groundwork to this, you know, first we're going to be talking about God's grace. Now remember, our grace is not an excuse. Now a lot of churches use it as an excuse. You know, they think, you know, greasy grace, where you can just do whatever you want, when you want, and it's all right. Now, God is forgiving, I know that, but to me, it's kind of treading on the grace of God, because to me, grace is empowerment. I see it more as an empowerment than an excuse. You know, mercy is when we, you know, we need mercy. Sometimes we get way past grace and we get over into mercy, right? You know, and we need really God just to step in and help. But what I see is grace, what it does is grace gives me the strength. See, I'm here today by the grace of God. I'm standing up here today by the grace of God because the grace of God is working in me, but I'm exercising it by faith. It takes faith also, and we're going to look at that in a minute. See, all gifts are from God, and they are empowered by grace and utilized by faith. Sometimes you're just going to have to step up and step out. And then when you do that, then you're going to start to see God's grace rush into your life. But believe me, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but the Holy Ghost is for a lot more than goosebumps. You know what I mean? I love it when we praise God and we feel the presence of God. You just kind of want to stay there, don't you? You're just in the presence of God and it feels so good and you even sound good singing, you know what I mean? You ever had one of those days where, man, I really sound good today. You know, this must be my key, you know. But I don't have too many of those days, but every now and then. But see, that grace, you step into that and you get that Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost is more than just a feeling. The Holy Ghost is for ministry. And when you start to step out in your ministry and start to exercise and utilize the gift that God's put inside of you, you're going to start to see something happen. You're going to be doing things you never thought you could ever do, ever in your life. I never would have seen myself in high school or out of high school being a public speaker. That was not even on my radar, wasn't even on my bucket list, wasn't even something I ever really wanted to do. And I'll be honest, you know, the only reason I'm here is by grace. God gives me a message to do it. See, I'm not the type of person that has to have a microphone in my hand to feel special. You know what I'm saying? And that's the safest person to have up here. Because some people want to be up here. They want the attention. That's when they get in trouble with God. Now, Paul here, when he was mentioned in these scriptures, and, you know, Paul really had some deep revelation, all these giftings that we're talking about, gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, and gifts of the Spirit, they were Pauline revelations. You know, Paul had a deep revelation, you know, of God, and God used him in a mighty way. Now, Paul was talking here by grace in verse 3. See, our gifts differ according to the grace of God that was given us, and, you know, praise God, we're not all the same. Now, in marriage, I noticed when we first started out, my wife and I are opposites. It was stressing a little bit. We were so opposite in a lot of things. I like it hot. She doesn't like it hot. You know, I was talking about jalapenos and stuff. You know what I mean? I like spicy, you know. And, you know, trying to decide on a place to eat would almost kill us, you know. It was, you know. But I will say this. We got everything covered. We're so opposite. You know what I mean? What she's good at, I'm not very good at. What I'm good at, she's not very good at. But between the two of us, united together, amen,
amen,
in holy matrimony, amen, glory to God. And, you know, we learned to lean on each other, to need each other. You know, hopefully when we die, we'll just die together. It'd be so much easier, you know? A rapture. She's hoping for the rapture, you know? Yeah, that's her story, and she's sticking to it, you know? But I, you know, turn to someone right now and say, man, you're really different. You know what I mean? And that's good. You're really different. That's all right. A couple of guys don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I see it. See, you're going to find out I'm a prophecy motivational gift. I don't like doing that stuff either. I think it's stupid, you know, when people, but sometimes you like to ask, you know, I mean, some people like to do that sort of thing, but my personality, yeah, I wouldn't want to do it either. So why did I have you do it? Because I thought it was funny, you know. Every now and then I need a laugh, okay? All right. So one of the reasons that we don't do anything is because we feel that we can't, okay? We're scared. We've never done that before. You know, just like we got a new Sunday school teacher before. They've never done it alone before. See, but what God did in my life is that after I was saved, you know, I didn't know any better. I just jumped into Bible school, you know, and I started learning all this stuff. Well, then I started to pay attention, you know what I'm saying? So I started to change, and I started to grow. Well, then I had so much in me, I had to let it out. But see, I wasn't comfortable with adults yet. So I went and taught, you know, many of you heard the story, I taught three-year-olds. And I was in the room with, you know, it was maybe 15 or 20 three-year-olds all by myself. I'd never taught children before. And, you know, I would just speak to them like an adult, you know. I wouldn't talk to them like they're babies, you know what I mean? I preached them up, you know what I'm saying? And I would, and they would pay attention. It was good. I did that for a while, and then, you know, then God moved me in some other ministers. I was trying to explore and find out what God was calling me to do. And, you know, then I'd teach an adult class and different things. I started working with kids. I did street evangelism, all these things, because I knew that God had put a message in me, and it had to come out. And so it's good when we put ourselves, you know, in those positions, because, you know, deep down inside, I never thought I really could. And you heard my testimony the first time that I, you know, went to the evangelism. They had Friday night evangelism in our church, and it was a big church, and, you know, but not very many people did evangelism. I mean, formal evangelism. We went out to East Colfax where the, you know, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, you know, people that knew they needed help. And the first night I went up there, I didn't know really what it meant. And the speaker who came became a good friend of mine later, it was Jeff. And, you know, we all went in this little room and we prayed. And that was okay. I could handle that. You know, I didn't pray out loud. You know, I wasn't ready for that. But then they actually told me what we're going to do. They said, well, we're going to give you these tracts and we're going to go out these Colfax and you're going to tell people about Jesus. Hypothetically, I didn't know Jesus yet. I wasn't born again yet. You know, I was going to church because I knew I needed something in my life, but I wasn't quite ready to surrender yet. Well, after they prayed and said amen, you know, we all went downstairs and there was a door to the south and a door to the north. They all went out the door to the north. I snuck out the door to the south. I was scared to death. I knew I couldn't do that. But you know, 1 year later, I was the leader of that class. That's the grace of God. See, I was born again, and then I stepped into calling, and then God wanted me to start to utilize the gifts. And see, it was God's grace. See, I knew that I couldn't do any of that stuff. I knew that that wasn't my personality. But I knew that God, what he could do through me, I started to understand that. And that's what I want you to understand. That's what I want you to experience. It's not what you can do, but it's what God can do through you that's important. And then we start to experience that, and then he gets all the glory. Because by the grace of God, that is that why we can. See, we don't choose a gift because the gift is given by God. Now, some of you may want a gift that somebody has. You know, there's certain gifts that people like better than others. I don't, you know, you could probably pick one. You know, but as we step into those, the ones that's going to make you feel more fulfilled is the one that God has put inside of you. So, in my English, it's not very good, but I look at it as if you get something, then you got something, right? You got to get it. You got to go out there and get it and receive it. And then you know you have it. You say, well, Pastor Brad, I don't think God's given me a gift. I hate to call you a liar, but the scripture says different. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift. Does that mean everybody? Yes, it does. So don't ever side with the devil and say that God has not given you a gift. Because he has.
Amen. Amen.
See, the devil's going to try to talk you out of opening that gift. You know, he's going to say you're not worthy and all that stuff. We know that he's a liar. So each one has received a special gift. You know, it's more than getting it. Then it says, employ it. That means put it to work in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. So we should never say that we're not gifted, and we just have to be a good steward. You know, stewardship's important. You take care of your stuff. You know what I mean? Things you've been given. You may not have everything that you want in life right now, but I guarantee you, if you take care of what you have now, that puts you in line for promotion. Amen? You know, if you think, well, this is just a piece of junk anyway, why should I take care of it? Well, then you think God's going to give you something else? You know, you may go out and get it yourself, but I don't believe God will give it to you. Because you got to be a steward first. You got to be appreciative and learn. And so when you start to operate, you know, in these gifts and start to see what it does, because grace helps us to understand exactly what God's wanting to do. See, grace understands that it's not me, but it's He that's in me. And then we start to take care of God's stuff, you know. I started teaching little kids. You know, that's where I was at. If I wouldn't have stepped out there, I doubt I'd be up here today. You know, I'd still just be, well, wonder what God wants me to do. What's God's will for my life? You know, I know God, you know, wants me to have all this nice stuff and all this and, you know, get off into things that, you know, really don't amount to nothing. But we need to get into the place where we know that God wants us to be, and we start to fill that slot. And then God will start to utilize us and use it. See, we need to learn how to flow with the strengths that God has put inside of us. And this is how it does it. It takes experience. You know, if you want to be a teacher, you know, if you think God's putting inside you a message, unless you start to teach somebody, it's never going to develop. You know, and you could, you know, do a Bible study one-on-one with somebody. You can help teach kids. We need help on Wednesday nights. You can get in there. And my wife's an excellent children's minister, just excellent. You know, I'm not just saying that because I'm married to her, but I've watched her. You know, she connects with the kids. She knows how to do it. And so she could train you. She could train you in that and help you to be better. She doesn't know it all, but she knows a lot more than I know in kids ministry. I'll guarantee you that. I sit down when she starts. You know what I mean? I know that. I see it. I recognize the gift. See, I recognize the gifts in people. That's part of my role as a pastor, and I try to encourage you. I don't force you. I don't go around and say, hey, God told me to tell you this, because I don't manipulate people with God. You know, I try to encourage you to try to, hey, have you ever thought about trying this? You ought to try that. Just see what God does in your life. You know, and as we do that, then we start to experience God in a deeper way. Because I'll tell you what, God is the most addictive thing on this planet. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody thinks, oh, it's math. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. No. God and His anointing is addictive. Getting in the presence of God, getting into the place where you know that God is working in you and through you, that's addictive. You know, that keeps you coming back. That makes you want to do more of the things that God's called you to do. Because to me, grace makes the ordinary extraordinary. And that's what God can do in your life. He can take you from where you're at and put you to the place where you need to be. And that's the glory of God. I mean, it's nothing that our flesh can say. See, the goal, as we know, is more important than the role. It's bodybuilding. You know, it's important that we understand that. And to me, I want you to understand that grace is like gas in our tank. You know, gas is kind of expensive right now. You know, kind of high. How important is gas? You know, we got to have it to move our vehicles. But see, in our ministry to the body of Christ and to the world, you know, it's that grace. You know, we need to tap into that. Like I said, never use grace as an excuse, but use it as empowerment. Next, I want to talk about our attitude and how we got to have humility. How important humility is. Okay, so some people, you know, like to think it's all about them, but it's really not. It's really all about God. And how we keep pride out of our life, because it's easy. Once you step out and you see God working through you, and then you can make the mistake of thinking that it was you. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, look what I did. Look at me. You know, that's a big mistake. Because really, it's He that's in you. You just got to remember, that's all you got to do. To God be the glory. And that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. And we need to do that because prideful thinking can make us think that we're better than somebody else. And to be honest, some gifts will put you in front of people where it's easy to assume the credit for what people behind the scenes made possible. Just like, you know, when we put on, you know, maybe a meal here, there's, as we're going to learn here in the next several weeks, you know, there's the serving gift, okay? The serving gift is something that just they just feel great fulfillment out of being serving, a serving person, and they'll go in and they'll take care of everything and just, you know, decorate the tables just immaculate and have all these nice things and make sure everybody's taken care of. And then I could go in there and say, hey, look what I did. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor of this church and I did that. No, the body did that. You know, the body did that. I may get some credit in some people's eyes, say, wow, man, he's got a good church. Yes, I do. I do know that. I got a good church. You know, I got some people that like to serve and hop in there. I got some people that start to utilize their gifts, and that's important that we understand that. To me, you know, one test for pride is that if you can serve without ever getting the microphone in your hand, that's a test. You know, some people will only help out if they get the microphone. And see, that's not the right attitude, is it? No, we don't want to have that attitude. Now, I want to go off in just a little bit of a tangent, not bad. There's a difference between a gift and a talent. Okay, I want us to see that, what that really means. See, we can easily get prideful or jealous, you know, when we compare talents. There's some people who can throw a football a long ways and very accurately. Not everybody can do that. That's talent, isn't it? They have a talent to do that. Well, to me, you know, we can get jealous about those, but talents are given at birth. Some people just have different talents that are better than each other. So talents are given at birth, but gifts are given at the new birth. Okay, and there's a difference between the two. Now, the easiest one I can explain this with is somebody that can sing. Okay, I do not happen to be that person. You know, you ought to hear me in the shower, but that'd be awkward. You know what I'm saying? I can sing really good in the shower. But let's say somebody has a great voice, and there's a lot of people with a great voice that are not singing to glorify God. See, they're a talented musician, they're a talented singer, but they're not anointed. Just because somebody has a good voice doesn't mean they're anointed by God, doesn't mean it was a gift given by God, you know, to lead people in the presence of God. It might just be a talent, and talents are okay. But we don't want to, you know, confuse the two. Because one of them, if we're not careful, can make it about us. We got to make sure that it's all about God. So, like I said, talents are given at birth, but gifts are given at new birth. And it says that we need to be of sound judgment in this passage of Scripture. That means we need to see the big picture. The big picture. No matter how good we think or how important we feel, we can't do it alone. We need other people. A church is only as good as other people. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be one person. It just can't be, you know, just that. It's got to be more. It's got to be everybody kind of working together. Now, we know, we preach this. How many know we preach that personal relationship is important? Right? We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But we equally also need a corporate experience. We need to do it together. Strength in numbers. Strength brings a stronger anointing. Corporate prayer, that's why we do corporate prayer, you know, here in the community, you know, once a month with the churches that participate, because there's strength in community, there's strength in corporate prayer. You know, we decide to link our arms together. You know, just in the Bible it says one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. So we need to hook our faith together with other people. God is well pleased and God is well blessed when we choose to do it with others. You know, anybody that's studied, you know, people's lives, you know, a lot of people that has maybe won the MVP, maybe in some sort of sport, or the most valuable player, you know, would easily trade in that for a championship ring. It's because what they do with other people is more important. And that's what we need to see. It's what you and I do together in this church is important. Amen. We're making a difference in this world. and we're doing it together.
Amen.
And we can be proud of that. We can be excited about that. You know, and as we utilize our giftings, and you know, we need to be more evangelistic, because you know, we need to reach more people. I know that. But it's important that we see the need for the whole body. You know, team accomplishments, like I say, are just better than self-accomplishments, you know. The bigger the things we do for God, the purer our motives need to be. Okay? The bigger the thing that we do for God, the purer our motives need to be. So this is why we need to make sure that we stay humble, and we do that, and we want God to exalt us. Amen? You know, as Jesus said in the New Testament, it's better to sit at the farthest seat down the table and be asked to come up, versus instead of sitting at the head and being asked to move down. You know what I mean? And so let the gift promote you. Let what God has put inside of you promote you, to help you to grow, to be what God's called you to be. You know, and don't think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Believe me, if you knew where I started, you would probably think I don't deserve to be up here. If you really knew my whole story, I don't deserve to be here. But by the grace of God,
amen.
The grace of God,
yes.
What he's done, what he did for me, he will do for you.
Thanks.
He will turn your life around and make you a life changer. And see, that's where we need to get. See, when we practice humility, we don't need to think less of ourselves. We just think of ourselves less. Amen? So true humility is not putting ourselves down. Is this the fact we're not promoting ourselves? You know, let God promote. And that's important. See, it's okay to feel important, and it's healthy to do so. Just don't let yourself feel that you're more important than others. That's when we get into trouble. So it's kind of a tightrope. You want to feel good. You want to be strong. You want to know, you know, I'll be honest. It's going to sound weird, but I think God loves me more than you. But I just don't tell you about it. I just did there for an example. But you got to have that feeling that God loves you. But yet also know that God loves everybody else just as much as you. You know what I mean? That's hard to fathom. The person that you like the least, God loves as much as he loves you. That's hard to accept, isn't it, sometimes? That's God. And see, that's the God we work for. He's not a respecter of persons. You may feel like you was born in a place where you never thought you'd ever thrive, but see, God can promote you and put you in the place you need to be. All you got to do is grab a hold of God and start to hang on and feel where he's going to take you to do. And that leads me to my last point, is that faith, how important faith is, and boldness. We have to have bold faith, because we live in a world that is in deep distress right now. And it's going to take bold people who are hanging on to God. And you say, well, I don't really have a lot of faith, Pastor Brad. Well, again, hate to prove you a liar, but the scripture said that he's given us all a measure of faith. You know, so everybody has some faith. It's what we do with what we have. It's what we do to develop it and to grow in faith. See, that's important. So God always puts it back on us. See, to operate the gifts inside of us, we need to have faith. They're empowered by grace, but we step out in faith to utilize those. We have to step out in faith. That means you're going to have to make that step, that blind faith step. See, when we operate by faith, we don't wait for proof. You know what I mean? We don't wait for proof. We operate and we step out by faith, by what we believe, what the Word of God says. I don't wait for it to manifest before we step out. If not, it won't manifest. Sometimes we just got to step out by faith. You know, I know, you know, what God has done, you know, in my life, and that's the only one I can speak for, a little bit for my family. But, you know, in the fact that when God says to go and do something, you know, even does it look like it's going to happen, but it happens. That's stepping out in faith and putting your trust in God and learning as we go. See, it's the gift that will put us there, but it takes faith to keep us there. God may give you a gift, you know, where you're maybe going to be doing something for Him. But believe me, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations. The devil, the last thing the devil wants you to get is, he hates an educated Christian, a well-informed Christian that is operating by revelation knowledge, not head knowledge, but revelation knowledge from God, and stepping out and saying, bless God, I'm going to step out and do something for Jesus. Well, the devil hates you when you do that sort of thing. So you're going to get some resistance, but that's okay. Resistance helps us grow. You know, the devil thinks he's putting us down, but he's really making us stronger. Right? Yes. It's resistance that helps our faith grow. When we step out in faith to do something, and then the devil pushes back, and then we press on through, well, guess what? We're in a whole different level of our faith walk. Because we've experienced firsthand the power of God moving in our life. Well, guess what? We're a little harder to handle now. You know what I'm saying? The devil, you know, he's kind of takes a little different look at us, you know, because he knows what we're capable of because of the glory of God. And that's what we want to do. It's the glory of God. See, sometimes it's faith that's the only thing that's going to keep us going in our ministry. You know, you're going to experience that, the things that you do. And, you know, not everything that you do in ministry will get noticed, let alone be thanked for, but do it anyway. You know, if you're doing it for Jesus, you don't need a pat on the back all the time. Amen? Amen. You don't need an attaboy or attagirl, because you're doing it for Jesus. You know, and that's more important, that we see that. Just do it anyway. You know, some people get all bummed out and get frustrated. I know it can. You know, every now and then you do need a little pat on the back every now. But primarily, if you're in the ministry thinking that you're going to get thanked for everything you do, you're in the wrong ministry. You know what I'm saying? It don't work that way. But that's okay. You know, because God is the one who exalts. God is the one that promotes. And when God promotes you, you can't be taken down. Ha ha. When you put yourself up there, yeah, you might fall. But when God puts you there, you're going to stay there. Praise God for that. See, closing here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of those who seek Him." See, there's a reward for faith. You know, faith is worth it. You'll be rewarded. You know, and that's something we need to understand. See, works, when we get into works righteousness, that exalts flesh while faith glorifies God. See, you want to make sure that we're glorifying God in everything that we do. And the last point I want to share is this, that as we head into this 6 weeks, 5 weeks from now, is that I want us to think body, okay? Don't think toe or finger. See, all parts are important, and we need to work together for the good of the whole. And you are a vital part of God, what God wants you to do. And, you know, my goal with this is for you to step out in faith and start to fulfill your destiny, okay? Start to fulfill the destiny that God has put on your life. And we need to do it together. Amen? And, you know, and as we step out and we start to utilize these things, God's going to be glorified, the devil's going to be put down, and we're going to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
That's what we want.
Thank
All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, we thank You for all the gifts that You put inside of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You just reveal those things to us. As we're here today, Lord, we want everything that You have for us. Lord, we're not greedy, we're not needy, but Lord, we know that when You give us a gift, that we need to take it. And Lord, I thank You for receiving that gift in Jesus' name. But Lord, we know the greatest gift is the gift of salvation. Just want to offer, if you're here today, you don't remember a time that you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, I want you to just slip up your hand. And this is a prayer that I'll lead you in. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today a sinner, separated from God. Lord God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes me and makes me clean. Right now, I surrender my life to you. And Lord, you give your life to me. And I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a simple prayer like that can change your world. It can take you from darkness and can put you into light. And that's what we need to see. We're in a battle down here. And we need each other. And we need warriors. Amen. We need warriors. Those are really to fight the good fight of faith and press on through. Amen.
Thank you. Yes.
Amen.